move forward. And I wonder if I'm preaching to a crowd that's ready to move on in God and let God do something. Can you give him a hand of praise here tonight? Why don't we just have church here tonight? Well, glory to God. Amen. Amen. It's so good to see you here tonight. I have a friend of mine from Best Buy, Mr. Graham Rollo. His dad, he's a preacher's kid, a PK. So deacons, watch out for the PK. Amen. Make sure he behaves himself tonight. Amen. But it was so good to see Graham here tonight. And he and I work together in home theater. I'm a televangelist. Amen. And selling 85-inch TVs, we hope, right? But praise God for his blessings on us and what the Lord is doing. Our young people are meeting in the back. There's about 20 of those back there tonight. And when the young people are out, it makes us look kind of thin in here. And then this morning, we had a lot of new faces and maybe some faces that are reconnecting. You know, I call a new face somebody who hadn't been here in about 3 or 4 months. We just go ahead and call them new. Amen. Because for whatever reason, they're back. Amen. And so we had a wonderful crowd this morning. We're growing and glowing and going. Amen. I didn't practice that, Pastor. That just came from the Holy Ghost right there. Growing and glowing and going. Amen. Yeah. We're glowing with the love of God. We're growing through the Spirit of God. And we're going in the power of God. Amen. Yeah. And we're going to reach out. We've got 2 services on Easter Sunday. Now, you... people have asked some questions about that or whatever, and they're like, well, which service can we go to? And I've said, you can go to both of them if you want to, amen. You can go to the 9 o'clock service. If you're an early riser and you want to go to Bojangles, get you a biscuit and come on to 9 o'clock service. You got the whole day to yourself, amen. You go home and cook for your family or whatever. But, hey, invite your family to church, amen. And you can come to the 11 o'clock service if you like to sleep in late. You can... you know, just whatever suits your fancy. Now, if you're in the cantata, if you're the choir, we need you to hear both services. And if you're ushering and playing a musical instrument, Brother Tom and Brother Philip and the rest of you band here, need you both services. And sound team, we need you both services. And after we get done with the 11 o'clock service and we leave, we'll give you the rest of the day off. How about that? And then we're going to celebrate what the Lord is doing. Amen? Yeah. I said amen. I tell you, the Lord is in this house tonight, and he is doing something among us, and I just praise God for what he's doing. Amen. We are continuing in our series tonight on the cry of the cross. I knew there was something else I was going to mention, and that is revival. Next week at this hour, Kenny Williamson will be here. How many of you heard that video this morning? Were you in the morning service? You heard him play Goodbye, Our Sister? You didn't hear it? I'm almost tempted to play it again, but I promise you, he played Goodbye World, Goodbye like you could. I mean, it was Goodbye World. Amen. But the man can preach. He can sing. He's got a sweet and a humble spirit. And we're going Sunday night through Friday night. And I did get Best Buy approved to have every night off. Isn't that good? Amen. All right. When you go to Best Buy, buy a TV and tell them thank you. Amen. That you let the pastor of worship off every night for revival. We'll be working during the day, most every day. But revival starting next Sunday night with Kenny. We'll bring somebody. We've got Wilson First coming on Thursday night. Isn't that great? Amen. We've got the Kinley Pentecostal Holiness Church coming on Tuesday night to sing. And let me tell you about the Kinley Pentecostal Holiness Church. They were about to close that door, those doors several years ago. Leland Naren pastored that church when I was here at when this was Living Waters. Leland Naren was pastoring down there, and Leland was one of our older ministers, and Leland was unique. If you just knew Brother Leland, the man could fly a plane. He told me about how he piloted Paul Jackson down to Falcon and almost crashed and killed them both. And he told me all those plane stories. Brother Leland was full of the Holy Ghost and on fire for God. And he passed away several years ago, and the church just kind of dwindled down. But Leland Naren's son, Ricky. Anybody ever heard of a guy named Ricky? Not Ricky Nelms, but Ricky Naren. Ricky was a phenomenal piano player. They sent a pastor in from the First Church of Goldsboro, or the First Church, the Mother Church, Danny Rollins. And they sent him down there just to kind of keep the doors open. Danny's a professor at Bible school and a great guy. But I'll tell you, the Lord has blessed that church. They are busting out of the seams. They've got people who've been saved off of drugs. When you see their singers, they're going to look like people who have not lived a godly life all their life. They're going to look like basically what people everywhere looks like that are not in church. I mean, they're going to dress appropriately. They're going to dress appropriately. Of course, they're going to do that. But you're going to tell when you look at them, you're going to see some of his singers that have really been brought from low places. And isn't that what it's all about? He saves us. Amen. Not from the church choir sometimes. By the way, some people in the church choir need to be saved. I'll just leave that alone. But they are coming on Tuesday night. We've got the Greenville, the West Wilson Church of God folks are coming. Karen Fulgham and Adam, you know, he was here Wednesday night. They're going to do the worship for us Monday night. And then, of course, Wednesday night, I've never heard the Paris Temple Choir. Those of you who are home folk here, you've heard them. So I'm expecting a good treat. I'm one of the members of Paris Temple. We got to talk. You never know what you run into at Best Buy, and I didn't know him. He didn't know me, and somehow or another, we got into talking about church, and I told him I was a pastor of worship at Westmoreland. He said, Westmoreland? He said, that's that church where David Johnson goes, isn't it? I said, yes, it is. He didn't say Jerry Nelson. He said, David Johnson. And I believe you've helped them out with their sound system and stuff over there. And but he said he was related to Miss Clara over here. And so, you know, I have to behave myself when I'm at Best Buy. Amen. I don't know who somebody that you know knows somebody. In fact, that's what we all ought to do. Amen. So everybody shout revival. And I want you to put your hand right here on your heart and say, God be my helper. I'm going to be here every service with a smile on my face, with a shout in my step, a praise on my lip. I'm going to be faithful, and I'm going to be praying, and I need revival. Come on, tell yourself, I need revival. Now lift that hand up to God and say, Lord, pour out your spirit in revival services. God, take us to that next level. God, it's not an accident. You're bringing us together. And Westmoreland is a leading church on this district and God and in this conference. And Lord, let people see far and wide what you can do in an old-fashioned Pentecostal holiness church where the power of God still moves and lives are still changed. Give the Lord a hand of praise here tonight if you believe it. Amen. Stand with me tonight, and I want you to read John chapter 19, and I have it in the New Living Translation. And fellas, were you able to get that up there? And if not, don't worry about it. That's fine. So we'll just read it from the King James. John chapter 19, verse 28. We're talking about the last seven statements that Jesus made on the cross. Now, when a person is dying, Their last words are their most important words. Can you say amen? These seven dying statements are really seven living statements for our life. Amen? What he said in dying, we can embrace in living. And these seven statements, the first one was, Father, forgive them. We've already preached on that. The second one was, this day you shall be with me in paradise. When Jesus looked to the thief on the cross, he said, this day you shall be with me in paradise. Then I preached on the next statement, statement number three, my God, why have you forsaken me? And we had church with that last week. And then Wednesday night, woman, behold your son. Pastor preached on that. And then this morning, Pastor preached on the fifth statement from the cross, I thirst. And I don't want to add anything to Brother Jerry's message, to Pastor Jerry's message, but I was reading that statement, and sometimes we have to take some bitter water sometime. Amen. They gave him gall and vinegar. Have you ever put vinegar? The other day, I was at K&W. Let me give you an example. And K&W, they gave me the white cider vinegar, whatever it is, for apple cider vinegar for my turnips. And I opened the cap, and I was talking to Darnell, You know, it's got that little slit on it where, you know, it doesn't all come out, but a little bit comes out. And so you shake it and a few drops because, you know, vinegar is strong. But when I turned that thing over, I was talking to Darnell and it came out. And I turned it up quick and I said, whoa. And I thought, well, it might not be that bad. And I'm going to tell you, when I had that vinegar, I went. But let me tell you, when Jesus took that vinegar, sometimes we have some things. But let me tell you something. God moves in our lives when the worst thing is happening. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I thirst. And tonight, we're going to look at the sixth saying. Let's read John chapter 19, verse 28. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It'll be a little different from what you see. Jesus knew that his mission was now finished. And to fulfill Scripture, he said, I am thirsty. And a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked a sponge on it, put it on a hyssop branch, and held it up to his lips. When Jesus tasted it, and know that he tasted death for every man, this is all symbolic, he said, it is finished. He said, it is finished. Read that with me. It is finished. And he bowed his head, and he yielded up his spirit. Father, thank you for the cries from the cross. And Lord, what you said in dying will be our guide in living. And Father, tonight help us to know that it is finished, God. And I pray that you would anoint me to speak your word. May I decrease and may you increase. And we'll give you all the praise for what shall be accomplished in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Turn around and tell somebody you're looking pretty and you may be seated. Words are powerful. They can save life. Words can take life. Words can hurt. Words can heal. Words can stop momentum and progress. Words can start momentum and progress. Words can change the course of history, time, and eternity. What do you mean, Pastor? Words like I do in marriage. Those two words, simple two words, change everything. Words like we to the jury, find the defendant, and that one word, whatever that, or the next two words, or the next one word, we find the defendant guilty, changes everything. Words change everything. And these cries from the cross, these words from the dying Savior we've been looking at, and they change everything. In fact, it reminds me about a California man who went out and wanted to buy a unique Mother's Day present. He wanted to give her something a little different. You know, it's hard to give your mother something. It's coming up. So he just happened to be walking by an exotic bird shop, and he decided to stop in. The owner showed him two birds. They could sing, dance, and talk. But they were $5,000 for the pair. But he thought it's its mom, and this is different. And so he plopped down $5,000. He had them shipped to Georgia, where his mother lived. And after a few days, he got this phone call. And, after a few days, he called his mother. Son, he said, our son speaking, Mom, did you get the birds I sent you? Mom, yep, sure did. They were delicious. Son, Mom, please tell me you didn't fry up those birds. Mom, well, of course I did. Son, Moms, those birds could sing and dance and even talk. Mom, well, son, they should have said something. Let me tell you, when Jesus was on the cross, he said something. He said something about forgiveness. Father, forgive them. He said something about what lies beyond the grave. Today you will be with me in paradise. He said something about not understanding the things that happen in our lives. Oh God, why have you forsaken me? He even said something about taking care of your family. Behold your son. And he told John, and John took care of his mother. And tonight Jesus is again saying something as we come to three powerful words. It is finished. Say it with me. It is finished. Shout it with me. It is finished. Give him a hand of praise here tonight. Three words. Three words. Now, those are three words in the English. But how many of you understand that English never came on the face of the planet as we know it until about 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago? And this was written 2,000 years ago. Three words in English, it is finished, is only one word in the Greek. And I want to give you that Greek word. And I can't pronounce it that well. Brother Philip is a Bible scholar. You might can help me. But the word in it is finished in the Greek, those three words, is one word. What is it? Does anybody want to help me? Tetelestai. Say it. Tetelestai. Or tetelestai. Can we just agree to disagree that it doesn't matter how it pronounces, but you know what I'm talking about? I didn't go to Holmes Bible College or Emmanuel College. I went to East Carolina University. I promise you we didn't study Greek or Hebrew there. I promise you. Tetelestai. Or tetelestai. That one word in the Greek is a powerful word. And when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, tetelestai. Am I saying it wrong? Tell me how to say it, really. Sister Dorothy, tell me. You got it? Okay. Because I know I want to say it right. But that word means, in the Greek, complete. It means over. It means done. It also means paid. It means fulfilled. It means finished. That's why we translate it, tetelestai, into the Greek, into the English. It is finished. Say it with me. It is finished. Now, let me tell you what Jesus did not say. He did not say, I am finished. No, don't get the idea that this is the whisperings of a dying man in the throes of death. Let me tell you, this was the statement of a sovereign Lord who laid down his life for us on Calvary. It is finished. And we're going to talk about the cry from the cross. This was not the despairing cry of a helpless martyr. It is not an expression of satisfaction that terminates. Of his sufferings was now reached. It was not even the last gasp of a worn out life. No, tetelestai. It was the declaration on the part of the divine Redeemer that all for which he came from heaven to earth to do, it was now done. That all that was needed to reveal the full character of the God of God had now been accomplished. That all that was required by law before sinners could be saved had now been performed. The price of our redemption was now paid. Tetelestai. It is finished. Somebody ought to give him praise for the cry of the cross that it is finished. Somebody say amen. I want to give you three things this statement was. Number one, when he said it is finished, it was a statement of endurance. Of endurance. Because think of all that Jesus had to endure before he made this statement. Think of the loss of blood. Think of the leaving of his disciples. Think of the crown of thorns upon his head. Think of the nail-pierced hands. Think of the cat-o'-nine-tails that whipped his bare back. Think of all that he had to endure to get to that moment. And some of you can't go to church if you have a mild headache. I'm going to preach on in Jesus' name. Nobody said amen oh me or nothing. Our pastor last week preached with a back that was thrown out and it hurt to look at you. I know it hurts you, but I'm going to tell you what. There's something about endurance. Amen. John chapter 17 and verse 4 says, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. He did what the writer of Hebrews said. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In other words, my suffering is over. My work is complete. I have finished my assignment. It is finished. Somebody say amen. One of these days, I'm going to lay down these burdens down by the riverside. One of these days, these old sorrows and trials of this old world and this old life. One of these days, I'm going to breathe my last, but it won't be my last, because I'm going to say, tell testi, it is finished. I have finished the course that he's given me, and now is set for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord God shall give to me, and not to me only, but all that love his appearing, and open up the heavens, because here I come. It is finished. The past is over. God is up to something. And this isn't over. But God is up to something in my life. Can you say amen? Amen. Now listen. When in Greek times, when servants finished their work, slaves or servants as we know them today, when they finished their errands or their work, they would go to their master and say this word, tetelestai. They'd go to their master and say, it is finished. Amen. And when Jesus had finished his work, he said to the world and to the Father, tetelestai. It is finished. He endured. He endured. Say, he endured. Now, sometimes it's hard for us to endure. I know we have padded pews, heat in the winter, and air conditioning in the summer, fine clothes and a good job, and it's hard for us to endure. I pull out your tissue and feel sorry now. Come on. I mean, we give up way too easy. We quit way too soon. Max Lucado said our human tendency is to quit too soon. Our human tendency is to stop before we get to the finish line. Our inability to finish what we start is seen in the smallest of things, like a partly mowed lawn, a half-read book, a letter begun but never completed, an abandoned diet, a car up on blocks, or it shows up in the most painful of areas, like an abandoned child, a cold faith, a job hopper, a wrecked marriage, an unevangelized world. We have a hard time enduring. We have a hard time enduring. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, go back to Hebrews chapter 12, 2 through 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, say that with me, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now look at verse 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Contradiction of sin. He endured the contradiction. I feel a preach coming on. Do you know what a contradiction is? Contradiction is, like you said earlier, Pastor, I have paid my tithes, but I can't pay my light bill. That's a contradiction. I have done all that I'm supposed to do, and nothing seems to be working out. That's a contradiction. Can I get a witness? I mean, a contradiction. We know that it's supposed to be one thing, and it is diametrically opposite. But don't think it's strange when we have contradictions. Sometimes when you do right, it doesn't always work out right. For the moment, at least, there's what I call a temporary contradiction. He's promised you to be blessed and highly favored, but right now you're kind of running low. But can I tell you, you're blessed and highly favored, you could be in the hospital, but God still can bless and highly favor you. Can I get a witness? Because Jesus endured the contradictions. What do you mean? He is the Lord of glory, the Son of God. But the contradiction was, he was the slain Son of Man. He is the one who created man. But the contradiction is that man is spitting in his face. Friends, sometimes it doesn't always work out like we think it and hope it works out. I'll tell you what a contradiction is. You raised your son to be Billy Graham. I mean, you molded him to be the next Billy Graham. And instead of him turning out to be Billy Graham, he turned out to be Willie Nelson. I mean, that's a contradiction. Can I get a witness out here on the road again? That's him. But let me tell you something. God still works in the contradictions. Let me tell you, don't you give up in the contradictions. Don't you give up when somebody breaks up with you and leaves you for another mate, or leaves you for another person, because God has a way of turning those contradictions around. We will go on, and we will endure, and we will go through it, because God said it is finished, and his plan is still working. I wish somebody would say glory to God. It was a statement of endurance. Amen. Somebody say amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. I'm telling you, your labor is not in vain. What you do for God, no matter how small it is, Tom playing those drums is not in vain. God's using you. Brother Elam sitting at the chair, being a watch over this church, is not in vain. Brother Philip, when you go out there and it's raining, and those boys are crazy, and there's contradictions left and right. And I'm telling you, Brother Philip, it is something is happening. And I know that things just don't make sense sometimes, but if you can just get to church, if you can just trust God, if you can just believe God through the contradictions, my husband was supposed to this, but he's not. Or my wife was supposed to this, but she's not. That's all right. God can work on your spouse, even if they're not saved. God can work on your wife, even if she's not saved. I want you to know, you don't look at the things temporary. We are passing through. God, we've got to endure hardness as a good soldier. I mean, praise Him in the good times. Praise Him in the contradiction times. It was a statement of, say the word with me, endurance. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38 says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draws back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." But we are not of them who draw back, but of them that believe. We are moving on, Sister Darnell. We are pressing on. We are going on. Is there anybody that's going to have some endurance this Easter and say, praise God, it might be Good Friday today or Bad Friday, but Sunday's coming. I'm just going to hang on and trust Him and praise Him. I wish somebody would give Him a hand of praise here tonight. I'm going to endure through the grace of God, through the contradictions. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Praise God. It was a statement of endurance. When He said it is finished, number two, it was a statement of fulfillment. Of fulfillment. Why was it a statement of fulfillment? Because of all that was prophesied in the Old Testament. You've got to realize over and over in the Old Testament, prophecy after prophecy spoke of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and of the Messiah. It was prophesied, for example, in the Old Testament where he would be born. Micah 5 and 2 says he would be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied that he would have a forerunner. And Malachi chapter 4, verse 5. And that forerunner was given in the New Testament. John the Baptist, his cousin. Zechariah prophesied in the Old Testament that he would ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. He did that on Palm Sunday. And Psalm chapter 22, the 22nd Psalm, says, "They pierced my hands and feet." That was a direct prophecy of his crucifixion. Psalm 22 and 18 said that they would cast lots and they gambled on his garment. Psalm 69 and 21 speaks of what Pastor preached about, them giving him vinegar to drink. So all of the prophecies of the Old Testament, one man did who was a mathematician, went and took all of those prophecies and said that, do you know that the odds that one person could fulfill all the scriptures in the Old Testament, the odds of one person fulfilling all those scriptures is one in 840 with 97 zeros behind the 840. So you can't tell me, listen, you know what? After Jesus was born, he could have read that scripture and said, you know what? It's the Messiah's going to be crucified, so I'll make myself be crucified. But he could not have read those scriptures and said the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem. He couldn't have made himself be born in Bethlehem. Come on, are you with me here? I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ, when he said it is finished, Buddha is not God, Muhammad is not God, I want you to know that he fulfilled to a letter all of the prophecies of the Old Testament. Jesus Christ is either a lunatic, he thought he was and he wasn't, or he was a liar, he said he was and he wasn't, but if he wasn't a lunatic and he wasn't a liar, then he must be Lord of all. There is no middle ground. He's either is or is not. When he said it is finished, he fulfilled all the law and all the prophets. He is Lord of glory. How many of you know Jesus is the Lord of glory tonight? Amen. Just think about the killing of all those lambs. Now listen to me. I had lunch with T.E. Long today at K&W, and he said this morning he preached on the lost lamb. And think of all those lambs. In other words, you had sinned and you had to get a lamb to sacrifice for your sin. Now, I'm going to tell you something. There are some people out there who don't mind killing animals, but I don't even like to squash a bug. I feel bad about it. I do. Now, some of you don't. Well, I mean, if it's in the kitchen or something, which I don't want to get too much. I mean, every now and then, a little something. I don't have roaches, so y'all come on over. I promise you. But it might be some little bug from the flies in from the outside. I got to get out of this quick. But I'll go ahead. y'all try to preach after working at Best Buy for 8 hours the day before. You know, it's something you don't know what'll come out. But amen. But if there's a bug, my wife screams and says, ah, there's a spider. I mean, I'll go ahead and squish it. But I always feel bad about it. I've been known to wrap the spider up and take him outside and let him loose. I don't want to kill a spider. I don't want to. We say, the spider's a bite you or whatever. Yeah, but, you know, leave them alone. They'll leave you alone most of the time. And if we didn't have spiders, we'd have a lot of other things, you know, and blah, 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 blah. But can you imagine? I can't imagine, Brother Philip. You know, in Royal Rangers, they teach you how to tie knots and throw ratchet, those tomahawks and all that. But can you imagine if you had to teach those boys how to take a lamb? Say, come here, boys. Here's the lamb. And that little lamb going, with those sad eyes. And Commander Philip says, hold his head up, boys. That little, I hate to be so graphic. It's a little comical, but it's not. But the little lamb is like this, looking all around. Okay, boys, here's the knife. You sure, Commander? Yes, son. Why, Commander? Because, son, when we sin, either we die or that little lamb dies. And God, the sin has to be paid for. Are you sure, Commander? Yes. Now, son, take the lamb's life. And they take that throat, and it's not pretty. Ain't going to look pretty. And I know some of you are getting uncomfortable right now because I want you to be uncomfortable. I want you to realize that sin has a price. Sin is bloody. When you sin, you are cutting your own self in a sense. You're sacrificing your future. You're sacrificing your soul. But that lamb, praise God, was a symbol of the sacrifice. And you remember the story of Abraham when Abraham God told Abraham he did not have a son. And God told Abraham, Abraham eventually had that promised son by the name of Isaac. If y'all are with me tonight, say amen. Amen. And God said, take your son, your only son. Notice he said, your only son. It reminds me of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. Abraham, take your only son, and the son of promise, and offer him as a sacrifice. Now, Abraham is a father. And that is his son who he has raised. Abraham, at that time, I'm not sure his age, but Isaac is estimated to be about my age, 40. Well, I'm 45, by the way, but 40. And so here is his son. And God said, Abraham, offer him as a sacrifice. Now, let me tell you, as uncomfortable as you were with the little lamb, can you imagine God saying, sacrifice your child, your son? Are you with me tonight? That'd be a lot worse. Man, the lamb ain't no big deal then. If it's between your son, Alan, and a lamb, Brother Commander, I know you don't want to hurt the lamb, but if it's between Alan and the lamb, you're going to big time go for the lamb. Can I get a witness? And so Abraham laid his son on that altar. Now, I just want you to think about something for a moment. I want you to think about something. In that world, it was a world filled with human sacrifice. That was very common. In fact, if you study the Aztecs of Mexico, when they discovered them, the Spaniards discovered them in the mid-1400s, those temples that still stand in Mexico today, do you know what they did on the top of those temples? They offered humans. Human sacrifice has always been a part of the world. And so Abraham, nobody paid any attention. He's going to offer his son. Well, everybody does that. Some places they do it. But here's the difference. When Abraham laid his son out, and Abraham pulled that knife out. And by the way, there's a whole sermon about Isaac being willing to be sacrificed. That's another sermon. And as Abraham raised that knife, hold on. God said, no, don't do it. And he hears something. Does anybody know what he hears? A what? A ram where? Caught in the thicket. And a God? Oh, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. God said to Abraham, don't you dare offer your son, Abraham. That's what was different from everybody else. It got word over there in Mesopotamia. Oh, there was a man that the God said, offer his son. Yeah, no problem. Oh, that happens all the time. But wait a minute. That God said at the last minute, no, I'll provide a substitute. What? There's a God over there that we don't have to offer humans, but that will offer a substitute. And here's something even better. He said, one day I'm going to offer my son. It's going to be in your place. And when Jesus died on that cross, he said, it is finished. It is fulfilled. I take the sin. I take your death. I take your pain. Now you can live. God has made a way for you to be saved today. Can you say amen? Somebody died for you. And I'll tell you, you'll either die in your sins or you'll die in the Lord. And your sins cost, and they have to be paid for, because God is a judge. He's a righteous judge. But that righteous judge can still be righteous if there is a righteous substitute. Can I get an amen here tonight? Somebody lift your hand and say, thank God for the substitute. Thank God it was fulfilled on Calvary 2,000 years ago. And by the way, let me read this to you in Genesis chapter 22. Look at just Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 through 8. I saw this one time and I had a shout, and so I had a spell come all over me because I had never noticed this before. Look at Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 through 8. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac, his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they both went them together. Now look at verse 7. Isaac spake unto his father and said, Daddy, he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire in the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, look at verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself. Now, people misquote that all the time. And I, this is King James now. It might be different translation. But people misquote that and they say, God will provide for himself a lamb. It didn't say he would provide for himself. It said he would provide himself. He would be the substitute. He would send his son. He would be the sacrifice. Somebody say glory to God that it is finished. He provided the sacrifice. Can you say amen? Some years ago, a Christian farmer was deeply concerned about an unsaved carpenter. The farmer sought to set before his neighbor the gospel of God's grace and to explain how that the finished work of Christ was sufficient for his soul to rest upon. But the carpenter persisted in the belief that he must do something. And one day the farmer asked the carpenter to make for him a gate. And when the gate was ready, he carried it away to his wagon. And he arranged for the carpenter to call on him the next morning to see the gate as it hung in the field. And at the appointed hour, the carpenter arrived and was surprised that the farmer was standing by with a sharp axe in his hand. What are you going to do? He asked. Well, I'm going to add a few cuts and a few strokes to your work. But there's no need for it, replied the carpenter. The gate is all right as it is. I did all that was necessary to it. The farmer took no notice, but lifting his axe, he slashed and he hacked the gate until it was completely spoiled. Look what I've done, cried the look what you've done, cried the carpenter. You've ruined my work. Yes, said the farmer, and that is exactly what you're trying to do. You're seeking to nullify the finished work of Christ by your own miserable additions to it. God used this forceful object lesson to show the carpenter his mistake, and he was led to cast himself by faith upon what Christ did for sinners. And everybody said, amen. Trust and obey. He is the gate. He is the way, the truth, and the life. You don't have to pound. And listen, if you let me tell you something. You don't do good to get God. You get God to do good. And people say, well, I'm going to do better. But it's not do, and do. It's praise God, done, and done. Amen. You come to God as you are, and he loves you enough not to leave you like you are. And you let him do the changing, and you quit trying to chip off here and add a little bit there and put a little dot here. You come to the cross just as you are, and you fling on his mercy and thank him that he died for your sins. And I promise you, he will come into your heart, and he will make you a new creature. You can't change yourself, but Jesus can save you and change you. And thank God it's all about grace. It's not how much good works I can do. Let me tell you, I'm saved not because I'm a preacher. I'm saved to be a preacher. That's a big difference right there. I'm a preacher not to be a good work or to do a good work. I'm a preacher because God did a good work in my heart. And I just can't help but tell everybody at Best Buy and everybody at Westmoreland and all up and down the roads that he is a wonderful Savior. And 2,000 years ago, he cried, it is finished. Give him another hand of praise tonight. A word of endurance, a word of fulfillment. And let me close tonight by saying it was a word of triumph. Amen. Because here's what would happen. A soldier, I told you about a servant. When a servant got through cleaning up the house, making sure everything was right, and when he was all done, he'd go to the master and say, Tetelestai. You say, it is finished. But did you know that also in the armies of those days, when a soldier would go out and fight the battle, and when the enemy was defeated, he would come home and look to the face of his general, and he would look to his general and say, sir, I don't know if he used the word sir or not, but he would say this word, Tetelestai. In other words, general, the battle is over. Glory to God. The enemy is defeated. And you don't have to worry about it. Here he is in chains. It's over. I have triumphed. I have fought a good fight. And it is over. Praise God. The best is yet to come. Let's bring on the victory parade. Let's shout it from the housetops that the battle is over. He is alive. He has triumphed over death, hell, and the grave. Somebody shout hallelujah. The victory is accomplished. That battle started in Genesis. You remember when Adam and Eve sinned? They started in Genesis 3 and 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman. I'm coming to a close. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. I want you to know that in this ring was Satan. And he had captured man. And in this ring was Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ and Satan fought a battle. And Satan threw his punches. And for a moment it looked like he was down for the count. Are y'all with me? But just because it looks like it's over. One, two, three, four, five. Isn't it 10 in wrestling, Graham? Six. Why did I ask him that? All these millennials like wrestling. I go, eight. I don't know. Nine. And before, have you ever? I did. I watched wrestling when I was, I admit it. I watched Ric Flair and those guys, the Russian Bear, and I don't know what was that. What was the fellow that just died over here in LaGrange? What was his name? Ivan Koloff. Wasn't that who it was? Y'all ain't never watched that stuff, I can tell. Y'all don't admit it. You watched it, but you just don't admit it. I mean, or maybe it was boxing, Sugar Ray Leonard and all those guys. And he'd slap that thing, and on that ninth time, if he slapped it one more time, it's over. But I would watch every now and then, Brother Philip, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And about the time he hit that ninth one, that guy'd pop up and throw another swing, knock the other guy out, and then it was over. Can I get a witness out here? Because that's exactly what happened 2,000 years ago. The devil danced around with glee. He thought he had the children of God in bondage. But listen, Jesus is alive and well. Jesus is alive and well. Tell everyone you see, tell them with me that Jesus, I'm going to get a run going on tonight, is alive and well. I want you to know tonight that it was a statement of triumph. Open ye the gates. Who's coming in? I said the King of Glory is coming in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord, strong in battle, because he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Now, if you can't shout over that, your shouter has been broke. You need to trade it in or get a new one. Amen. A friend of a... this was tickled me when I read this. A friend and an associate of boxers, American writer Wilson Misner, he was a fighter, talented fighter. And one night, Misner and a boxer, Mysterious Billy Smith, visited a San Francisco bar where Misner started a fight with some Long's horseman. And at the end of only one was left standing. Although Misner raised punches at him, he stayed ostensibly upright. Suddenly, Smith noticed what was happening. "Leave him alone, Wilson," he shouted. "I knocked him out 5 minutes ago." He was just standing upright. And what they found out was an investigation. It turned out that a punch from Smith had indeed knocked the man out cold, but wedged him vertically between two pieces of furniture that they couldn't see. So here he is, he threw in the knockout punch, but because of some furniture, and it was dark or whatever, they couldn't see that he was propped up, but he was knocked out cold. True story. He said, "Where do you find this stuff? I'm telling you, it's out there. Trust me. The devil You can't see it. I know he comes around all that he, and it looks like he's still got power. It looks like he's still in charge. But let me tell you something. Easter was the knockout punch, brother. And he is defeated. He is knocked out cold. Devil, you are defeated. Somebody say, it is finished. Shout it. It is finished. Shout it. Stand with me tonight. It is finished. The devil is knocked out cold. Why don't you just throw another punch of praise right now? Why don't you just throw another punch of victory right now? Somebody say glory. Tell Testia, it is finished. Brother, would you play that video clip? I want y'all to sit back down, all right? I want him to pull up this video clip. Because the judge would tell a person convicted, when their sentence had been erased and they were condemned, they'd go before the judge.
It is finished, it is finished.
And he'd tell them,
tell
Telestai,
the beauty of the double meaning phrase.
It's finished tonight. The judge has cleared you.
From his labor, and so if I now resting only in his grace.
It is finished.
It is finished. It is finished. Tetelestai. The Son of Man succeeding where I fail.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
The wrath of God now satisfied in Jesus, my Emmanuel.
Come on and stand with me tonight. This is too good to sit down on.
It is done.
Yeah.
He's alive. It is finished, Tetelestai. My hope found in the Savior's words alone. He willingly laid down his life and gloriously he rolled away the stone. It is finished, it is finished, Tetelestai. No longer need I labor for his love. For Christ, fulfilling the law of God, was deemed by God to be enough. It is done. He's alive. And he is able to bring us life. The wedding bells of freedom now ring.
Aren't you glad of that tonight?
Your sons and your daughters will testify.
Yes.
Now to you, Jesus, we will sing. We will sing. We'll see. look around is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand.
Oh, give the Lord a praise tonight. Lord, we thank you. I just want you to bow your heads tonight before we come to the altar. And if you don't know the Lord as your Savior tonight, it is finished. Not trying to earn your salvation. Just completely trust on Him. It is finished. As I was saying a while ago before the video started, when the judge was ready to release a person who had served their sentence, or if a person was found not guilty, or a person was granted clemency, they would go before a judge. The judge would look at the condemned and say this one word, "Tetelestai." You're free to go home. You're free. Somebody else is paid. Your debt has been paid. Thank God He paid your debt. Ask Jesus into your heart right now. Say, "Father, come into my heart." Pray this prayer after me, everyone. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you tonight that you paid the price. And all to you I owe. And you paid it all. Thank you that you said, "It is finished. I repent of my sins. Forgive me, O God." And through your grace and by faith, not in my feelings, not in the preacher, but in your word, I'm saved. I'm saved. I said I'm saved. If you're saved tonight, give Him a hand of praise tonight. Thank you, Jesus. You say, "Brother Ricky, you don't know what I'm having to endure. When I go home tonight, I've got some tough things this week. My marriage is not good. My family is having a tough situation. My job, it doesn't look stable." Can I tell you tonight, He endured it. And you can endure it. And He is with you. I want you to step out of your seat tonight and let's come and close in prayer. Pastor Jerry's going to pray with us and pray over you. Amazing grace. Just step out of your seat. How sweet the sound that saved, whatever you need, a wretch like me. Whatever you need. I once was lost, oh, but now was blind. It is finished. But now I see. 'Twas grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears. Anybody need that grace? The I first believe. Can you lift your hands and sing it tonight? When we